Good evening and welcome to This Food Studio, Metro Atlanta's newest show that shines a light on some cool local food, wine, and spirits. I'm your co-host, Todd Schnick. Joining me is my lovely and talented co-host, Miss Stephanie A. Lloyd. How are you, Stephanie?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. This is really exciting. This is the launch of this new show. We've been thinking about this and planning this for months and months.
Yeah, we have.
And welcoming a third host, a gentleman, the name is Todd Youngblood. He is a partner of mine in Dreamland Interactive, one of our sponsors. Todd, it's good to have you. How you doing, man?
It is good to be here because I did not expect to be able to get out of the house this soon. I got a new hip, as you know.
Todd just got out of surgery. He's doing real well.
They told me I couldn't drive for 4 weeks, and this is 2 weeks in one day. And don't tell my daughter. By the way, I drove today.
So let's not do any live radio or anything like that.
That would be a very bad idea.
Yeah. So, well, Todd, it's good of you to join us. Stephanie, I knew if we had a food, wine, and spirit show that Youngblood was just going to somehow show up. Hey, Stephanie, the goal of this show is to provide you and I a chance and a forum to shine a light on some restaurants and some restaurant owners and chefs. And that's just one of the many things that we're going to do. But I think more importantly, and what I'm really looking forward to is interviewing people like our guest today. Today's guest is the founder of the Square Hat Wine Company, an Atlanta-based wine education company. Welcome to the show, Petrosky Lawson.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here, Tom.
So when we wrap episode 10,000 and we get the same kind of send-off as Oprah does, you'll go down as the inaugural guest.
Hey, it's good to be the first.
Will you be willing to come back for the big party like Oprah had?
Of course.
The 25th anniversary?
Hey, sign me up. I'm all there.
Outstanding. Well, gosh, before we get into a conversation, and you were very kind to bring some samples for us to check out later, but let's spend a few minutes, get to know you a little bit.
Okay, sure.
Before we get into it, do take a minute and tell us a little bit about you and your background, what you're out there doing.
Excellent, excellent. I am a Georgia grad, a Georgia native, I say. Grew up in South Georgia, Thomasville, Georgia. Went to Florida State.
Bachelor's.
Go Noles.
We did too.
All right. Did you really?
No.
Okay.
We did.
All right.
Stop right there. Excuse me.
Done.
I need to leave now. I'm not sure I can deal with this. Not three in one room.
Three Noles in the house, and we just found this out. How about that? So, Florida State.
What did you study at FSU?
Undergraduate political science and geography. Yeah.
That was my minor.
Bellamy
building.
Yeah. And then rolled from there and got a master's degree in urban regional planning. So, and then moved back to the state, worked for Senator Coverdell, and moved to Atlanta, been here for about 13 years and as a lobbyist, a federal lobbyist, and then was Abbott, bought the company that I worked for, Solvay, and said, sorry, we don't need you anymore. So, got excited about wine a couple years ago on a trip to Italy, just for a company trip, spent 4 weeks in Italy, Piedmonte, the northern part, and then went to Venice and spent a week and a half down in Tuscany and just fell in love with the people and the countryside. So
he's speaking our language.
He is definitely speaking our language.
They're serious about their food over there, so, and their wine. So
yeah, food, that's how food I got and here. Wine in Tuscany is pretty awesome.
It's hard to beat, man. Yeah. Hard to beat.
So Square Hat Wine Company, tell us a story about that. I'm also curious about the name.
Yeah, I am.
How did you
too.
Come up with that?
I get two questions when people meet me for the first time. Petrosky, where the hell did that come
from? That is another question, yes.
That's question number one. And the second question is, where did the Square Hat thing come from? And the Square Hat name is an interesting one. Basically, one night I'm sitting having dinner with about 10 friends, and it's about midnight, and we're all a little bit inebriated. We've had a lot of wine. And a friend leans over to me and says, could you pass me that Square Hat wine? And we were like, what? Because we had not eaten any food. We had just been drinking since about 6 o'clock. So we thought it was the funniest thing we'd ever heard. Square Hat Wine? What do you mean Square Hat Wine? And the logo on the wine bottle was a man with a square top hat. So
the name stuck.
I was looking for a name for a dinner club that I started about 10 years ago here. And Square Hat was the name that sort of stuck. And I just have always loved it, and people have always loved it because it's a great conversation starter. So I was looking for a name for my new wine education venture. I thought, let's go back home, baby. Pick up the Square Hat theme. So
very nice.
That's how I got the name.
It's memorable.
Now, I noticed, I can't remember if I was on your website or your fan page today, but you talk about wines in terms of numbers of square hats.
Yes, I give them the I rate them on a scale of 1 to 5 square hats. And it's kind of like, you know, if you went to the movies, you know, a lot of the movie critics would give 2 thumbs up or 4 hats or 5, whatever. So I just came up with a system for rating my wines on a basis of 1 to 5 square hats. So that's kind of where that came from.
I like it. I like it. And it's a cool story with the name of the company. Yeah, it's always good to have something like that, that because the conversation starting is so critical in marketing.
And it says to people, Todd, that you don't take yourself too seriously. Yeah. And that is the bottom line. It's, you know, just have fun with it. You know, you don't get too
crazy.
But
that's a great segue into one of my questions for you, though, is in the business of wine, it sometimes is so intimidating.
Oh, yeah.
And very. so to have someone who's not taking themselves too seriously is a refreshing right. element to it. I have to ask you, I'll watch someone drinking a glass of wine and they'll swirl it and they'll smell it
right.
and they'll taste it and they'll say, oh, I can find I catch a nice little scent of apricot and some cinnamon and maybe right. a little blueberry. I mean, and half the time I wonder they're just pulling that out of their fanny. Walk me through how someone such as yourself begins to kind of develop their palate and understand. I mean, and I would, honest to goodness, Stephanie and I had some wine the other night, and it was really, really good stuff. It,
sure.
And we were smelling the bouquet, and a very distinctive scent to it, and I could not place it. I mean, how do you begin to develop some of those skills, I guess, for lack of a better word?
The single best way to do it is to develop that skill is to just drink wine, to taste wine, and to taste a lot of wines. There's no better experience than drinking. And so I don't care whether it's a master sommelier or someone who's beginning. The only one of the major differences between the two is that a master sommelier may drink 1,000, 2,000 wines in a given year, whereas you or I might taste 50, not even. The average person may expose him or herself to 15. They have that one favorite wine that they just always go to all the time. Mm-hmm. So over time, you develop your palate and you develop your nose for these different wine aromas. Every wine, they almost all have a flavor profile that is consistently, for example, Pinot Noir has a typical flavor profile. Merlot has a typical flavor profile. So when you hear people use terms like, oh, I'm picking up raspberry notes or I'm picking up cherry, it's because they've tasted enough of Pinot or Pinot Noir or Merlot to kind of start to pick up that. But you're not going to be able to do that by drinking 5 or 10 wines in a given year. Typically, a master sommelier may taste 20 to 30 wines a day.
Wow.
And so over time, experience is the best teacher.
That makes sense. Well, as I told you earlier, probably 10 years ago, I took a French Wines 101 class through Evenings at Emory. And one of the things that they talked about in terms of how to develop this ability is to go to the grocery store and spend some time in the produce section smelling.
Yes, that's a great
point. So that is a viable
point.
Okay.
Viable point because, I mean, these grapes, they come from the soil. I mean, all of us is, you know, farm to table is sort of this new modern concept, you know, in the United States. You know, it's been going on for 3,000 or 4,000 years in most parts of the world. And including, you know, with the Native Americans in our part of the world, just farm to table has been around for a long, long time. So think about that. So absolutely, if you think grape varieties they're basically from the soil. Well, so are these fruits.
Right.
So, you know, tropical fruits, stone fruits, herbs, all of these different flavors that you detect or that you taste in different fruits and vegetables are all also in the wines.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. So that's a very good point.
I was intimidated to walk through Whole Foods and smelling fruit, but that is a very legitimate way to begin to discern some of those. Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm doing it.
Absolutely.
I'm absolutely.
I have a sense of field trip coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you made it very clear, Petrosky, practice makes perfect with this, right?
It's true. Oh, sorry, I'm sipping wine on the It's true. I mean, it's practice makes perfect. And the best in the business, whether it's Tiger Woods or the master sommelier or anybody that wants to get better at what they do, you have to constantly practice.
Malcolm Gladwell, Outliers.
I was just going to say that 10,000 hours thing applies to this as well.
Right. So that's the basic difference between a wine professional that's spouting off those terms and say, you know, a novice, is that they just taste a lot more wine. That's the best way to pick up all of those terms, and it's just drink a lot of wine.
Plus, you just sound cool saying it, too.
Yeah. drink a lot of wine.
Just taking that one step further, Petroski, would you recommend just having fruit with the wine, or really just go to the grocery store and get the smells down? And
oh, that's a great question. I would say do anything that you think is going to help you sort of pick up these aromas or these flavor profiles. But I would say the best thing to do is to just taste wine and drink wine and then just try to pick out different aromas or different flavors. And you don't have to do, I mean, they're all kind of consistent. I mean, you know, look, I mean, they're dark fruits, they're dark notes on, you know, some wines, and then there's the red cherry, mom's apple pie. I mean, these flavor profiles are pretty consistent. So you just need to be able to pick out a couple and you've got it. You know, you pretty much are on your way to becoming a sommelier type person.
I can do this, Todd.
Oh, you absolutely can.
Trust me. Yeah,
absolutely. And you and I will have no trouble with the practice side of this.
If I can do it, anybody can do it. I mean, it's.
Well, Petroski, I'm already intimidated by all of that we've already talked about. This is probably a good time to segue into an upcoming class that you're teaching. I think in the next couple of weeks, maybe July 19th is when this is starting. You have a new class called Wine 101, An Introduction to Wine. Tell us all about that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. It's. Basically, I've been doing all, you know, for the last 6 months to a year, I've been kind of looking at the Atlanta market and seeing sort of what's missing. And a wine class, there are a lot of wine tastings. You guys are probably, everybody and their brother and their uncle's doing wine tastings. Okay,
yes.
They're a dime a dozen, and typically you go in and you taste a few wines, and it's like, okay, you walk out and you're like, well, what did I learn? Well, you learned that particular proprietor, that particular restaurant wanted you to buy those particular wines. Nothing wrong with that, Todd. That's great.
Right.
I'm all for free enterprise. But what I think we ought to be doing more of is getting consumers to a place to where they can feel empowered, more empowered about their wine choices or their wine buying choices, wherever they are, whether it's a wine tasting, whether it's a wine class, whether it's a trip, whether it's a first date, or whether it's that all-important business dinner
where that's an idea.
The client is really big into wine and you want to feel like you know what the hell you're doing when you're sitting across the table from this guy and the wine list comes. So the wine class is I put together to sort of focus on really reaching out to people who are interested in taking their wine game to the next level. They just want to move away from, you know, the total wine tastings or the wine tastings that you go to at restaurants and bars and places like that. And they want to sort of elevate their game. And so what we're doing or what I'm doing is putting together this class. And for 2 hours, we're going to sit down and we're going to do some role plays. We're going to talk about the different grapes all across the world. We're going to taste like a professional would taste. There's a whole system, a deductive tasting methodology that most professionals in the wine trade use in order to sort of figure out what a particular grape is, what particular part of the world it comes from, and they do it blind. Now, we won't be doing a blind tasting at this particular event, but the idea is when you walk away from that experience, you will be better for it. You will be more comfortable in whatever situation you find yourself in. At the end of the day, I want people to drink more wine. Where they drink it or who they drink it with is their business. I just want them to be empowered and to feel like, man, I got this.
Petroski, you used the term role play early in your description of what the class is. I'm not quite sure I understand what you mean.
Oh, good point. So the first hour is going to be focused, so typical classroom. So you sit there and you're swirling the wines and you're tasting the wines, and I'll do a PowerPoint presentation on grape varieties, key major regions of the world, where the wines come from, those sort of a general overview. This is kind of a typical what you get when you go to these wine classes. And the second hour is going to be role play, and that's where we're going to get into, like, what's it like to go into when you're at a restaurant and the wine list comes, what do you do? And then I can walk you through that, what that's like. And I think those are the types of experiences that people want. They want to learn more about how do I make wine more practical in my life?
Pragmatic is the word that jumped in my head as you were describing that.
See what I do when the sommelier comes to me, I panic and say, well, sir, what do you recommend?
Todd, that's actually one of the first things that you should do. I mean, if you think about it this way, as much as I know about wine, which isn't a lot, but I mean, I know more than I care to admit.
Than us.
Well, but here's the thing. You walk into a restaurant and they know their wine list better than you do. And so if I'm a master sommelier, if I'm at the top of my game, I'm still not going to be as proficient or I'm going to know my way around the wine list the way Stephanie might if Stephanie is the director of wine for ABC restaurants. So why not use her talent or her knowledge of the wine list to help me figure out what it is that I want to do? So that's absolutely one of my top tips for
should
people.
One of their questions be, what are you going to be eating tonight so they can pair something appropriately for you?
Yes. When you typically, well, I sort of like the Italian European way of going about it. And having worked for a European company for 10 years and traveling all over Europe, I was amazed at their approach to ordering wine in restaurants. Man, you go in, you sit down, the wine list comes, they're all fighting over who's going to get the wine list. They're fighting over who's going to get the wine list and who's going to pick the wine. It's like a badge of honor. And they spent more time talking about the wine than they did the food, because in their view, wine is food. And it's as important a part of the meal as the food. So I like that approach. So my advice is when you go into a restaurant, kind of have a general idea of what it is you're going to eat, what it is you're going to order, and start thinking about the wine that's going to be paired with that right away.
So that answers one of my questions, because I think your philosophy is wine is food, food is wine. Is that where that comes from?
It comes from just sort of seeing for the last 5-6 years traveling throughout Europe, hanging out with my colleagues and their approach to food and wine. It's a symbiotic relationship. And think about it. In America, wine is viewed as alcohol. It's a cocktail beverage. Most Americans drink wine as an aperitif before the meal, not with the meal. And it's reverse in a lot of places, particularly in the old world. Wine is basically consumed or enjoyed with the meal.
It's a part of the meal.
It's a part of the meal. And you don't see a lot of, you may see it as an aperitif, but not as a cocktail beverage to go out on a Friday night. You know, we're just going to hang out at the bar and we're just going to drink wine all night. That's typically not the approach. I mean, you see it, but it's a different.
But you're going to talk through all kinds of different things. How to sip, savor, and swirl wine?
Yes.
I mean, this is some neat practical stuff here.
Very, very practical. I mean, this is a question I get. I'm like, am I supposed to be swirling? What the heck is that all about? I mean, I don't want to look like a dumb, a dumb person by swirling the wine glass. Am I supposed to be doing that? And the answer is, with red wine, yeah, it's okay to swirl it. I mean, you see the professionals do it, okay, big deal. But apparently there's some science to this, that there are esters, E-S-T-E-R-S, I'm not going to get too scientific, but swirling the wine releases the esters, and it's in those esters that's where the bouquet and the aroma comes from. So when you're drinking an older wine, swirling, letting air get into, sort of seep down into the glass through the swirling process, it just sort of releases some of the flavor.
So that's with reds, correct?
With reds.
I also think I have learned somewhere along the way that that wine glasses are shaped the way that they are for certain reasons. Like, for example, red glasses are typically more broad across the bottom surface because you want to hold your hand there to warm it.
Yes. I mean, wine glasses are, it's a bit of a myth. I sort of struggle with how to bring that, to talk about that, because technically the wine glasses that we're drinking out of tonight or that we're using are perfect, are ideal. You just want something with a little bit of a, that's kind of a universal Bordeaux wine glass is what you're looking for. Bordeaux or Burgundy wine glass. You can put whites in there. You can put reds in there. Now, if you have a wine cellar and you have 1,000 bottles, then you have the money and the budget to go out there and get all these different wine glasses and then impress your friends about how knowledgeable you are. Okay, do that if you can. I mean, because
that's part of the experience.
It is part of the experience. But the fact of the matter is, where most Americans are in the $10 to $20 category, we're buying that wine on a Friday night and we're drinking it Friday or Saturday. We're not putting it in a wine cellar. And so for those folks, I just say, man, just get a glass that's serviceable, and just.
So I had my orange juice out of this morning and washed it and had my wine in the evening.
Ah, there you go. Hey.
But other topics in this session will be wine and food pairings, which is a big challenge for a lot of people, is all right, what goes with this and what goes with that, and also how to buy, serve, and store wine. So that's some great material in this class.
Yeah, I think the class will be very practical, and there's a ton of information out there. Americans and Atlantans, we're all very excited about wine right now. It's a trend. It's sort of a fad thing, and I'm hoping that it's one that's going to stick and it's going to stay around forever. I mean, if America...
Well, Jesus drank wine, so I think it's going to stick around for a little while longer.
Golly gee, I hope you're right on that one. And I think that the topics are relevant and practical, and hopefully people will walk away with a 3 or 4 tips they can use that'll help them, you know, down the road. I mean, that to me would make me
feel good. Now, will you be doing, I know this is kind of a wine 101 class. Mm-hmm. I know you've got more planned this summer.
Sure.
The one that caught my eye, 2 keywords, well, I guess it's 4 keywords, sparkling wines and St. Regis.
Oh, oh yes.
We'll be there.
Yeah, we're coming to that one.
Awesome, awesome. A good friend of mine, Harry, is the wine director there and a fellow CSW and certified sommelier. He runs the wine program there, and we just thought, well, what can we do? It's summer, and you know, people are looking for refreshing wines to drink with the summer. And here's the other thing with sparkling wines. A lot of people think that you're only supposed to, it's a special occasion.
Oh, no.
Or something you do at New Year's.
Weddings.
No. Karen and my fiance and I drink sparkling wine 3 or 4 times a week. It is a staple in the Lawson Neal household. Absolutely.
I'll
so
be darned.
That'll be a good one. I'm expecting that a very good turnout for that. And we're going to do sparklers from around the world. So
nice.
You'll be able to taste a true champagne.
Now, do you ever do, or do you have plans to do, to go further than a 101 class? Do you do series where you get a little more in depth?
Oh, that's a great question. Yes, the answer is my plan is once I get rolling with these intro classes, and hopefully there'll be can build up an audience for that, and then I'd like to move to 102. You know, like something a little more
sophisticated.
And for example, wine and food pairings, obviously, but. But again, there are a lot of people out there doing those types of classes like wine and cheese, wine and chocolate, wine and fruit, wine and you fill in the blank. What I'm more interested in is how can wine become a part of your everyday life? So I'm way more interested in classes like how to navigate a restaurant wine list and have a master sommelier or have someone at the restaurant come in and sit down with 15 or 20 students and talk about, to give his or her experiences about what that's like and how you can get more comfortable with communicating with them. Because let's face it, they're confused when someone comes in and says, I'd like a dry wine with my meal. Well, technically, all red wines are fermented dry.
Right.
You're not helping them that way. So how can we help consumers speak the language in a manner that helps them get what they want, which is a good bottle of wine with their meal, and it helps the sommelier or the staff at the restaurant communicate better, and that we're all better for that. So I think those are the types of classes that I'm interested in.
I have an idea for one.
Oh, okay.
Well, I love to entertain. Yeah. And, you know, when people throw parties or get-togethers, uh-huh. whether it's big or small, throwing a dinner party, uh-huh. you know, sometimes it can be overwhelming to try to figure out what to have to make, you know, to meet everybody's needs, to go with the meal or whatever you're serving. So,
oh, that's a great idea. Just help people sort of walk through.
Yeah. If I'm going to plan a dinner party for 12 and this is kind of what I'm serving, what do I need to have?
Brilliant. I'm going to write that one down.
Well, we do have some wine to taste, but before we do that, share with the audience how they can get information about this class,
okay.
plus all your other educational. Right. I just want to put a quick shout out to you. I got your newsletter the other day, which I would encourage everybody to become a part of. This is where you talk about how you square hat scoring system. But you listed several different wines and a little description of them, and I guess probably some food pairing information, plus educational information about all your upcoming seminars. So that's a wonderful little newsletter. So
thank you.
On that. But where can people go and get more information about all this?
My website is www.squarehatwine.com. www.squarehatwine.com, and it has all of my information about upcoming events. And you can follow me on Twitter. There's a link there for Twitter and also for Facebook. So